Diane. Diane has a testimony she wants to share. Oh, yeah. She shared it Wednesday, for those who are here Wednesday. And I wanted to share.
I did my affirmations also.
Did you? You did. You did your affirmations, too. So she could be here for a while.
No.
She's. It took her about an hour and a half last time. Come on up, Diane.
Good morning, everybody. I had my CAT scan done and my brain MRI done the past couple weeks. I've had CAT scan done and brain MRI done. And I'm starting to get some manifestation out of all the faith I put in. The lesions on my kidneys are just about gone. The cells on my liver are decreased by half. And, however, the root, the stem, the lungs are stable where they are. And it's all for... all that faith I'm putting in is, I know I'm healed. It's just a matter of it showing its time. Doctors aren't saying much to me when I say it's all Dr. Jesus, but what can you do? But I just want to go over real quickly. I got this from another man. I watch almost all my televisions, all Christian TV. And great man of faith, Charles Capps, who's no longer with us. But I got this from his Thursday show, and I kind of modified it a little bit for myself. But this is, I have to say, I don't say it every day, but I should. But it's in my heart. But this is basically what I say. The word of God is incorruptible seed. The incorruptible seed of God's word that abides within me radiates the life of God in every fiber of my being, thus annihilating cancer and every disease in every form that tries to inhabit my body. That incorruptible seed of God's word abides in me. That incorruptible seed will radiate the life of God in me and annihilate all the cancer and disease in my body. God sent his word and healed me. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead resides in me and quickens my immune system with the life and wisdom of God, which guards the life and health of my mortal body. My immune system grows stronger with each passing day. With great humility, I give my ceaseless thanks to my Heavenly Father for the works he is doing in me through his most blessed Son. It is all for his glory and honor. Finally, thank you, God, for giving me medical scientists that you have trained.
Why that? Because, and Diane didn't give you, she's been battling this. How long have you been?
2008,
this thing first.
That's when I was diagnosed.
First diagnosed. She's been given a death sentence how many times?
At least twice.
What does God say? I shall not die, but I shall live and proclaim the goodness and the works of God. Amen? That's what it's about.
Amen.
The power of God inside of you, delivering you out of the witness of this worldly system.
Amen.
No matter what it is, I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. Here's what I want to do. And God just gave me this as we're sitting there. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. I want you to stop thinking about something around you. I want you to focus on something. If you are born again, if the Spirit of God is in you, I want you to focus on the Spirit of God right now. I want you to open the ears of your Spirit that you may hear the Holy Spirit speaking right now. Listen to what he's saying to you. Listen to him. He's talking to you. He's bringing wisdom right now. You have something you're going through. You have a battle going on around you, whether it's sickness or infirmities or financial problems or whatever it is, relationship problems. The Spirit of God right now is speaking to you what to do. If you listen to Him and just do it. Somebody in here is saying, this is silly. Yeah. To the world in the flesh, it is silly. But to those who know their God, they shall do great and mighty exploits. Jesus is trying to get you to a place of greatness. He's not trying to keep you bound up. He's not trying to keep you in that place where you can't have victory. He is bringing to you now the wisdom of Almighty God. In your situation, do what He instructs you to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. He's real. God is real. Spirit of God is real. He wants to talk to you. He wants to instruct you. He wants to lead you out of darkness into light, out of death into life, out of sickness into health, out of turmoil into peace. This is His goal. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, Father. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, He loves you so much. But that love, listen, that love is nothing and can do nothing for you unless you do what He commands you to do. You understand? He showed His love and manifested His love by His Son coming here to earth and taking on the form of man and dying on the cross. But it does nothing for you unless you confess it and believe it. If you're a born-again, Spirit-filled child of God, you know His voice. If you don't know His voice, if you've never heard His voice, possibly, just possibly, you need to get saved.
Thank you.
Or you don't know that He's talking to you. I remember the other day we were at the house. I was coming home. Diane was in the living room and she had the fan and TV on or whatever was going on. I don't remember what was going on. I pushed the doorbell because I had my hands full. She didn't hear me. So I came in. Said I didn't hear it. But I did push the doorbell. Amen. God is speaking. Just because you're not hearing Him,
right.
He's speaking.
Amen.
Amen. It's not something that, oh, I got to wait and I got to. No. God is constantly, every day of your life, when you are sleeping, He'll be speaking. When you're awake, He'll be speaking. When you're on your way to work, He'll be speaking. Whatever it is, when you wake up in the morning, you say, okay, Father, I'm awake. What do you want me to do today? Most of us will say, well, I got to go to work. I got to do this. I got to get that done. I got to stop at the store. I got to go here. And we never stop and consider what God instructs us to do. Do you know your answer to your situation is just that quick?
Amen.
Just that quick. How many times has God instructed us and we haven't heard it because we're so busy doing what we know we've got to do? Hallelujah. That's not to knock anybody. That's just saying, amen? So the next day, what did I do? Or not the next day, a few days later, I pushed a button, she heard it, and came.
Good.
It was a doorbell. It wasn't something to, hallelujah. No, it wasn't meant that way at all. Glory to God. All right, you guys. Let's go into Ephesians 1, verse 15. We're going to start there and we're going to read through again. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Obviously, we need to have faith and love operating in our life in order for us to exhibit or experience or operate in the power of God. Without faith and love, forget the rest. Okay, I'm done. Do not He said, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, I thank you now that all that are here today, Father, are blessed with hearing ears, understanding hearts, that they may operate not just, Father God, not just in the world, but in the kingdom of God, in the power of God, Father, delivers them from the power of the enemy. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He said, I pray that you may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God, the eyes of your understanding. Remember we said the eyes of your heart were the center of the, not this physical heart, but the center of your spirit. The eyes of your heart being enlightened. In other words, that all of a sudden a light goes off, and now I believe because all of a sudden, remember what I told you before? I told you that the scientists have finally come to understand and have discovered that as soon as the sperm and the egg come together, there's a flash of light. Yes. And that flash of light is when all of a sudden something is conceived, a baby is conceived. When the Word of God enters into your heart, there's a flash of light, and all of a sudden it's conceived in your heart. I'm going to tell you something. You do not see the sperm and the egg coming together. But it still does what it's called to do. You will not see all the time with your physical eyes that God has done something. But something's been done. Come on. When you get to that place, all of a sudden a light goes off in the heart, conception. All of a sudden, yes, it's mine. Yes, I am healed. Not just I'm going to keep saying it because somebody said if I say it, I'll believe it. No. That comes from the heart. That's a how to get to that point comes through prayer, meditating on the Word of God that in your situation, what you're going through. In other words, you want to see and operate in the power of God? Focus on God. Amen. Get your eyes off of self. We talked about that the other day. Amen? Get your eyes off of self. God has a way of doing things that's so different than the way we do. We think we got to focus on self to get anything done. I got to focus on mowing the lawn. I got to focus on this and focus on that. Oh, something just came up. Can I go on a rabbit trail for a moment? Just for a moment. We were singing a song. Remember the song we were singing? The one where he said that it's a river coming. What was that song with the river? Huh? What?
Today?
Yeah.
Rain. Bring down the rain.
But he said it changed. It washed away all the. Huh?
No, he said we did it today.
We just sang it today. Where are the songs you sang today? For crying out. Our music team was so caught up in the spirit, they don't even remember what they were singing. No, I don't think so. No, hang on. I'm not going to get away from. All right. Nope, that's not it. I'm making a mess of Mark's stuff up here. Nope, that's not it. Oh, come on. Was I seeing things that wasn't there?
No, you was hearing God.
No.
It was there.
It's coming down?
No.
It's coming down.
Oh, boy. Everybody's saying something. No, not heavenly. No. Huh? There. Okay, who cares? All right. Mighty river through the nations, washing away. Where is it?
Right there.
Does it say washing away?
No.
Where's the washing away part of it?
Put it in there. God gave you that.
Oh. It says washing away. Anyways. Okay. Boy, I didn't want to get off where I went. I should have kept my mouth shut. All right, listen. Thank you to wash away our brokenness.
Oh, forgive me, Father. My darling.
At least I was paying attention, guys. But this morning, as I was preparing for this, God was speaking to me about a well. And he said, from that well will come rivers of living water, the well of the Spirit. And he said, just as in West Virginia, he said, you've seen the power of what rushing water can do in West Virginia. But he said, the power I've given to you is so mighty, it can move mountains.
Amen.
I said, wow. The water that's in the rushing water, that river of life, comes out of a well that is so deep and so filled. When it comes out, it doesn't just wash away that stuff. What it does is wherever it goes, it brings life.
Hallelujah.
And it's bigger, it's mightier than all the water that went through West Virginia.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm telling you, what's available to you, what's available, not only available to you, I'll tell you why it's available to you, because it's in you. That's what Paul was praying for the Ephesian church, that they would know what is the power of that mighty rushing water, that mighty rushing river that could flow and destroy and remove all the work of the enemy and bring new life in every part of your existence today. Not only will it do you, because it's going to hit you first. First of all, it's going to do it you. Then it'll go out and touch others.
Amen.
But until you have it, it'll never affect anybody else.
That's right.
You understand? You got it. Here's what Paul was trying to get. You got it. Father, open their eyes. Let them know, Father, the eyes of their understanding, the eyes of their spiritual heart. Let them see it. He said, because once you see it with your heart, you'll begin to see it with your eyes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God, the scripture says, God wants you to know what is he. What, there's one translation. Well, let me look down here. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. We already talked about that. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Talked about that. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us? That's me who believes. How many believe? There's power.
Amen.
Come on, there's power.
Amen.
We don't operate out of it. We don't do it. We just sit there and wait for God to do something. God says, I've given you the power over all the works of the enemy.
Amen.
He's given you the power over all the effects of this worldly system.
Yes.
God says, I don't want you to operate in this system. I want you to operate in the kingdom of God. I don't want you to live in this system. I want you to live in the kingdom of God. I want you to have eyes to see what I have done and what I'm doing. He did that through the word of God. And he'll do it through the Spirit of God. Because as you study and meditate in this, as you start tearing this apart, you start focusing on this, all of a sudden it starts operating in here.
Hallelujah.
Look what he said. I want to give you a different translation, the Amplified. And so that you can know and understand, listen to this, what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe. So in other words, you can't measure it. It's without limit, so there's no limit to this power. It can do anything. It surpasses greatness. God wants you greater than what Jesus did. It's surpassing, my God. Jesus said, these works and greater works shall you do. Because I go home to be with the Father. So he's saying surpassing greatness. Jesus did great things. You're going to surpass it.
Amen. Thank you.
Oh, you're being blasphemed. No, that's what Jesus said. Jesus said that. I can't tell you anything but what Christ said. If you're not willing to believe what Jesus said, then what I say has no bearing.
Amen?
Amen? That word, we talked about it, power is dunamis, which means dynamo or dynamite. That's where we get our word dynamite from. Also where we get our word dynamo. Dynamo is just power that continually works. God, it just doesn't come on and off. It continually. As long as you stay connected to the power source, the power is constantly working. Remember what I told you, stay connected. And he'll bring order. Now, that word may know or know. Now, I always know when I see know, I look at an intimacy. And so like a husband and wife knowing each other in an intimate way. This is a little different. This means to see. Paul said, I hope that you can see. I mean, God wants you to see something here. First of all, like I said earlier, with your spiritual eyes. Down here, you got to be able to see it. What do you got to see? You got to see God, first of all, and the power that's in and with him. Then you've got to see the power that's in you. That same power is in you. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in your mortal bodies. You understand? You've got to be able to see the power. If I go to plug in the whatever, coffee maker, I've got to see the place where I plug it into. When I plug it in, I see the coffee made.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I know if I plug into it, the power is going to come through. And the, even though the coffee isn't there, I see parts of it. I see the coffee grounds. I see the water. I see the pot. But I don't see the coffee with my physical eyes, but I certainly can see it with my spiritual, because if I didn't see it, I wouldn't plug it in.
Amen. That's right.
Right? If you didn't think it was going to work and bring coffee, you wouldn't do it. If you don't think that power source will bring healing, you won't go get plugged in.
Amen.
If you don't think that power source can bring financial blessings, you won't go plug into it. Because you can't see it. I just can't see how God can do that. How can God bless me and make me... Remember we talked Wednesday night. We've been doing faith messages on Wednesday night. And we had Kenneth Copeland again on. And he was talking about his ministry when he first got started. And God spoke to him and said, I want you to, you know, he wanted to find a way to go on TV because he didn't have the money. God told him, I want you on TV. He said, I can't. I don't have the money. How am I going to get the money? God told him, I want you to sell your airplane. His airplane was 3/4 of his ministry's worth. He had a small airplane where he'd go from place to place. But it was 3/4. Think about it. 3/4 of his ministry's worth. He went and told Jerry Spill, who was his working with him at the time. And God told us, he got the thing ready, took it, got it all fixed up, took it to the guy who God told him to take it to and give it to him. And he did. The guy was blessed. Now he was trying to figure out, okay, because he sets up his schedule, because he's got an airplane to use anytime he wants, he can set up his schedule that way. He didn't have to worry about going with the community service. 10 days later, he still didn't have the money to come in to do the TV. 10 days later, this woman comes to the ministry. And come to find out, she had stock in a small company, and this company was bought out by a larger company, and when it did, her stock went through the roof. She was loaded. She bought an offering to the ministry. 10 days after he sold his plane, it not only paid for the TV, it bought him a new plane that was worth 5 times what the old plane was worth.
Amen.
Now that woman who bought that offering, he didn't know her. She didn't know him. God spoke to her and told her what to do. And she obeyed. What I'm trying to get at is this. When God speaks, sometimes it's going to look, I can't do these things. And that's just fine. God will speak to you and say, tell them you're healed. Yeah, but they're going to think I'm stupid. They're going to think I'm silly. The doctors aren't going to, they're just going to shut up. They're not going to say anything. They just think I'm nuts. It must be the cancer of the brain. That's what it is. That's why you got that problem. But God says, tell them. Confess it with your mouth. Amen. Look what I wrote down here. This is from me. What you see, you start confessing. What you confess, you start to believe. What you believe, you start to receive. What you receive, you begin to live in it. You understand? Let me say it again. What you see, remember that you may see what you see with your spiritual eyes. Open the eyes of their understanding. Open the eyes of their heart. What you see, you start confessing. I can see my healing. I can see my provision. I can see whatever it is I need. Because I see it in the Word of God. And the Word of God is starting to take root deep within my heart. And I'm starting to see it. What you see, you start confessing. What you confess, you start to believe. What you believe, you start to receive. What you receive, you begin to live in it. God wants you to know that the power that He's released into every believer's life has enough power to remove every obstacle for His glory. Your life should glorify God. When they see you, they should say, what is it about you? Mm-hmm. Now I want you to see something here. The power was given to us for purpose. And Acts 1, let me read it to you. It said, then they gathered around Jesus and asked Him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Your purpose, the reason the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the power that God has put into the believer is so that they will be witness for Him. Now, that witness comes in two forms. It comes in an inward witness. You witness because when Jesus came into your life and the Spirit of God came in, the power of God came in, what happened? In Ezekiel, he says it, I take out your heart of stone. Ezekiel 36, I'll take out your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. What happened? All of a sudden, when the Spirit of God came into you, all of a sudden, something started changing. And what the result of that is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit, nine fruits of the Spirit of God, the power of God in you, starts making a transformation that is a witness to others that something changed about you. Amen. Before you were miserable. Today you're full of joy and peace. Before you talk nothing but negative things. Now all you talk about is how great God is. All of a sudden something changes inwardly and people recognize that you're not the same person. That's the power of transformation that's in you. Oh, trust me when I tell you this. Not everybody's got that fruit perfected yet. Amen? It just keeps on growing and growing. But unless you see something, maybe there's nothing there. Amen. Let me say it this way. unless the fruit of the Spirit is starting to grow in you at some point of your walk with Christ, maybe there's no walk with Christ. And I'm not talking about somebody just born again 2 days ago. Not even 2 months ago. But there's got to be some evidence of it. Somebody's got to say, hey, there's something different about you. There's something changed in your life. I haven't seen you like this ever in my life. That's the first witness. The second witness was the outward witness. He said in Mark 16, remember that? Hallelujah. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized... Let me finish reading this verse. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, and they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Not only is there an outward or an inward witness of this transformation of the power of God working, there's an outward witness. In other words, you're going to start laying hands on people. You're going to start talking about Jesus when nobody else is talking about him. One of the problems I think Diane and I have that we have is that I'm not a very sociable type person. I'm not. I'm being honest. Because see, when I get together, I want to talk about Jesus. That's what I want to talk about. That to me is the best conversation in the world. That I can talk about, right? But that's a work of the Spirit. That's a work of the power in me. Working. Manifesting outwardly. He said, when you go out and preach the gospel. The problem with the church is we're afraid. We're fearful. Well, I don't know what to say. Yes, you do. Well, how do I know what to say? Because you got the Spirit of God in you. The same Spirit who encouraged others to write. Do you realize that when Paul was writing, he didn't have a book there he wrote from? He was led by the Spirit to write what he wrote. He was led by the Spirit to speak what he spoke. Amen. You have the same Spirit in you.
Thank you.
I'm not saying you can't talk about other things. I'm not talking about that. The Bible tells us this whole earthly realm was given to us to enjoy. Do you know this all belongs to us? Do you understand that? Do you understand it belongs to you? How do I know that? Because Jesus said, all this belongs to me. I've been given all the authority over all of this. He said, I've been given the authority in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. He said, it's all mine. He says, this earth is the footstool of our Heavenly Father. Okay. And along with that, we've been called joint heirs with Him. What belongs to Him belongs to me. When Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom here on earth, guess who's going to be taking care of and controlling the cities? You are. You're going to be an authority. You're going to be an authority over cities of people and what's going on. You're going to get your instructions from the kingdom, from Jesus, and you're going to obey him and give the instructions to them. He said, you can reign in life now.
That's right.
No longer are you subject to what the world says. You're subject to what the kingdom of God says.
Amen.
There's such things that you have been given power and authority. Jesus said, all authority was given to me. Now you go. Amen. He said, Satan's been defeated. So you don't have to defeat him. He's already defeated. You can operate in the power of God and Satan has no part in your life. Or you can operate in the worldly system, in the flesh, and you're open to whatever he has to do. Am I making... Hallelujah. Let me share with you. And this is going to... I'm going to read something from the Bible. So, hang in there. Amen. I remember what... Who was it? I don't remember who it was. Somebody said one time. He said, if you must preach, read the word. And if you must, say a few words. Because what I say to you isn't going to change you. I will say to people when I leave here, what was the message about? Not many may remember. But if I read the word, is a seed that will affect your life for all eternity.
Amen.
That takes root in the heart. The only way you lose that seed, if you don't understand what's being read, says then the devil can come and steal it from you. Otherwise, a seed takes root in the heart and starts producing life.
Thanks.
Amen? Starts producing life. It brings food. It brings water. What did Jesus say? All those hunger and thirst come to me. Amen? Oh, don't forget the sunshine. The sun's there. Because in heaven there is no sun. Only S-U-N. No. S-O-N. Yes. It's the sun in you that's going to bring the light that produces the life of the seed that was sown.
Thank you.
Let me read this to you. Acts 8. I'm going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to do this, but know that the first part of it isn't where I'm really going to yet. Because I want to give you an example of what a witness's life is like. And Saul was not only consenting to Stephen's death, he was pleased and entirely approving. On that day, a great and severe persecution broke out against the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles or special messengers. A party of devout men with others helped to carry out and bury Stephen. Remember, Stephen was just stoned for his testimony of Christ. And killed. A party of devout men with others helped to carry out and bury Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul shamefully treated and laid waste the church continuously with cruelty and violence. And entering house after house, he dragged out men and women and committed them to prison. Notice the inward transformation of Paul's heart. This is the greatest witness of the inward work of the Spirit of Christ, the power to transform the hardened heart to a heart of love and sacrifice. Now those who were scattered abroad and went about through the land from place to place, preaching the glad tidings, the word, the doctrine concerning the attainment through Christ of salvation in the kingdom of God. Philip, the deacon, not the apostle, went down to the city of Samaria. And I want you to see that. Philip was not an apostle. He didn't walk with Christ as Philip the apostle did. He was just a servant. He served the tables. He was just a man, just like us. Philip the deacon, not the apostle, went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ, the Messiah to them, the people. So what did he do? He went about preaching the gospel, just as he was instructed to do. And a great crowds of people with one accord listened to and heeded what was said by Philip. As they heard him and watched the miracles and wonders which he kept performing from time to time. As I sit with pastors on Tuesdays, I go to prayer time with them. We all agree one thing that's missing in the church. The power. The power. So what we do now is we entertain. We try to figure out ways to entertain people, to make them want to come to church. Some churches, what they do is they cut the hours. Well, we're there too long. People don't want to stay there so long, so we'll cut back on the time we're there. to make them feel more comfortable. We'll put latte in the you know, in the entranceway. We'll have places for coffee and stuff so people can go out there. Remember one place we were at? They were going out there during the service while he was preaching and drinking lattes. The power of God was given to the church to show the world the difference between Christ in us and Christ out. We got to be different.
Amen.
We got to exhibit the power of God, which is then the presence of God in us. You have the power of God to preach the gospel, and signs and wonders will follow those who believe or those who preach the gospel. Listen. Hallelujah. Great crowds of people, let me read this again, with one accord listened to and heeded what was said by Philip as they heard him and watched the miracles and wonders which he kept performing from time to time. For foul spirits came out of many who were possessed by them, screaming and shouting with a loud voice. And many who were suffering from palsy or crippled were restored to health. And there was great rejoicing in that city. But there was a man named Simon who had formerly practiced magic arts in the city, to the utter amazement of the Samaritan nation, claiming that he himself was an extraordinary and distinguished person. Do you realize when we start operating the power of God, as Nicodemus said to Jesus, we know you're from God because nobody can do these things unless God is with him. You want God with you. This isn't just about going out and telling people. You go to the Father and say, Father, I believe with all my heart, with all that is in me. I believe that the Holy Spirit of God, the very power of God is in me. And as I go preach the gospel, Father, I thank you that you confirm it with signs and wonders. That's that simple. And go out with an expectation. I go out expecting, when I lay hands on somebody, I expect them to be healed. Now, I have no control over it. I'm not the healer. Jesus is.
Amen.
The power that's in me is released. Now, whether people accept that power or not, not everybody that Jesus came in contact got healed. He said many didn't get healed because of the unbelief. There's going to be people out there who don't want to listen to you. There's people out there who won't receive it. But there's going to be people out there who are hurting enough, suffering enough, and knowing and questioning, just like I did one day when I was coming home drunk and I looked up to the sky and I said, Father. I didn't say Father. I said, there's got to be more to life than this. I don't care how much garbage you got. I don't care how many things you got. I don't care how blessed you are with all the stuff in this world. Inside of you, there's more that you want. That more is the Holy Spirit convicting you and bringing you to a place that says, yes, there is more.
Yeah, thank you.
Life isn't about what you got in your hand. Life is what you release from your hand. Life cannot be caught up and held. It can only be let go. Jesus let go of his son's life, and it brought life to all how many people. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. He said there was great rejoicing in the city. Then we talked about Simon. They all paid earnest attention to him. Simon was doing magic, and people were just amazed at magic. I was watching a movie the other day, and it was about these four young people who did magic, and I don't remember the name of it now. Now You See Me. Thank you. Now You See Me. And they were doing magic tricks, and they were made crowds of people, mammoth crowds of people were down there looking up and, hey, yay, look at them, they're doing magic. It was just smoke and mirrors. There was no life in it. There was no reality to it. It looked good. People were amazed by it, but it didn't do anything to change anything. Matter of fact, they threw out a whole bunch of money at the end. All fake money. Magic doesn't do anything. But this guy here, the people were amazed at the magic. Now, if somebody can pretend to walk on air and amaze people, what can you do when you cast out demons? What'll happen? People get healed.
Amen.
What'll happen? When you give a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, what'll happen? I saw you. I remember one time God gave me a word for someone and I said, I saw you crying and weeping, walking the hallways, wondering how come nobody cared. God wants you to know he saw it and he cares. And she said to me, she said, I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't known that you saw me walk in the hallway. God will show it. You understand the power of God in you is so much greater than the power of this world. They said they all paid earnest attention to him from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the exhibition of the power of God, which is called great or intense. And they were attentive and made much fun of him, because for a long time he had amazed. Excuse me, I read it wrong. And they were attentive and made much of him. Not much fun of him. Much of him. Because for a long time he had amazed and bewildered and dazzled them with his skill in magic arts. But when they believed the good news, the gospel, about the kingdom of God and in the name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as Philip preached it, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed. He adhered to and trusted and relied on the teaching of Philip. And after being baptized, devoted himself constantly to him. And seeing signs and miracles of great power which were performed, he was utterly amazed. Now when the apostles, or special messengers at Jerusalem, heard that the country of Samaria had accepted and welcomed the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And they came down and prayed for them that the Samaritans might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then the apostles laid their hands on them one by one, and they received the Holy Spirit. However, when Simon saw that the Holy Spirit was imparted through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he brought money and offered it to them, saying, grant me also this power and authority in order that anyone on whom I place my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, destruction overtake your money and you, because you imagine you could obtain the free gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is all wrong in God's sight. It is not straightforward or right or true before God. So repent of this depravity and wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that, if possible, this contriving thought and purpose of your heart may be removed and disregarded and forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in a bond forged by iniquity to fetter souls. He was saying, listen, I can see it now. Your purpose is to bind people up, not to loose them. And this was Peter seeing into that time, into his heart. Simon answered, pray for me, beseech the Lord, both of you, that nothing of what you have said may befall me. Now when the apostles had borne their testimony and preached the message of the Lord, they went back to Jerusalem, proclaiming the glad tidings or gospel to many villages of the Samaritans on the way. Now listen to this. But an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and proceed southward, or at midday on the road that runs from Jerusalem down to Gaza. This is the desert route. So here Philip now is being sent on to finish the work that he's already begun. Later on it says that Philip was caught up and translated. In other words, he was caught up and moved miles away from where he was to someplace God needed him by the Spirit of God. God has called you, given you the same power that Philip operated in. It's the same power in you right now.
Amen.
The only thing you need to do is do as he commands you to do. Start telling people about Jesus and then watch what God will do.
Amen.
Well, what if he doesn't do anything? That's not your problem.
Right.
You don't have to worry about that. You just obey God.
Amen.
God wants you to know the power available to you. God wants your eyes open so you can see it. Once you can see it, you'll start confessing it. As you confess it, you'll start to believe it. As you start believing it, you'll start receiving it. When you start receiving, you're going to start living in it. This is not the work of man. It's the work of God. Father, we thank you this morning as you continue to work in each and every one of us. Father, I pray now for those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, for those who have eyes to see what you have given to each and every one of us, the very power of the living God you have released into our being. That we may release it, Father, for your goodness, for your glory. Help us, Father. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of this.
Thank you.
Of you. Of Christ in us. The hope of glory. We thank you, Father. We praise you. We give you glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.